When all I see is a battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees, with my head lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty force, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power.
Already been won. Amen. We worship Him. We sing His name. Jesus. There is a truth. Listen.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation.
Sing His name.
Jesus, there is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus. We'll be right back.
Morning, Prestonwood. What a joy it is to celebrate new life in Christ in the baptism of these 11 this morning. This is Will Doerr.
And this is Kate Wiley.
Upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to his divine command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Zane Harrison.
And this is Anna Flavio Pendeo.
Upon your public profession of faith in Christ, and in obedience to his divine command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Raphael Manzanero.
This is Lillian Millander.
Upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to his divine command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Wyatt Tesler.
And this is Tish Walker.
Upon your public profession of faith in Christ, and in obedience to his divine command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Connor O. Upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, and this is Don Ashbury. Upon your public profession of faith in Christ and in obedience to his divine command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
How many are excited about this? Let me tell you this. Today, the number one person that you see baptizing there is 1,000 baptisms for this year in this church. Praise the Lord. And we have a few more for 2 o'clock service for sure. But Pastor Gilberto from Prestonwood en Español, I'm welcome to Prestonwood. We are so glad that you are here. If you're online, welcome to Prestonwood. We want to connect with you. We want to do life together. So if you're not connected with us yet, please send a text to 74788 with the word connect, because we want to be in touch with you. We want to let you know what is going on in church. Also, thank you for your support, your offerings and givings. If you want to give online, you want to give here, this is the way to do it. 74788. Give. You send that word, you will receive a link and you can give. And if you want to give from the traditional way, you can have an envelope right there in your pews and take it with you. And the exit, we have offering boxes right there. Talking about support, talking about giving to the church for the Great Commission. I'm have an excited news for you. I'm so excited. Last night, Prestonwood Español launched our officially North Campus Español. It was an incredible night of worship. More than 400 people. We baptized 6 new brothers and sisters, and we are so excited because the best is yet to come. We are celebrating the Hispanic heritage across the campus today. So you will hear some worship in Spanish. And also, at 2 o'clock, we have a great feast right here with the band from Colombia, a lot of Latin food. So if you want to stay around, you are welcome. But now let's pray together and keep worshiping the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here worshiping your name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon your church and upon your people. And thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness that you also extend to us and give us all the time. Thank you for the church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, let's worship.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Good.
I heard once that he's not good for the things that he have given to me. He is good, and that's it. And it is well with my soul. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou
stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you work it. Even when I don't feel it, you work it. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
About you, but I am encouraged right now. Was that not an incredible time of worship? Can we tell this worship team, our choir and our orchestra? I had no idea Caleb Moore could sing Spanish that well, Pastor Roberto. That was unbelievable. And that's the language, every tribe, every tongue, every people. Nobody anywhere across this world is too far from the grace of the Lord Jesus. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what language you speak, the color of your skin. Jesus is available to you and loves you today.
Amen.
That's why we sing, and that's why we worship, and that's why we praise. Well, I don't know if you've been following along at all, but there is a question that has been permeating quietly, but ever building in our culture, and it's the question of, are you prepared? There is a phenomenon that has come into the life and the fabric of our culture. It's the movement of the preppers. I didn't say peppers, I said preppers. Now listen, I want to just give a little caveat as I share this opening to you. I know this is Texas, and I know that we have some strong convictions and beliefs. So if you're out there or you're watching online right now and you are one of these people, please don't email me. Don't send me articles from the deep state about how prepping is what you ought to do. God bless you in your journey. I'm just saying it's an interesting observation. The rise of the preppers. Now, some of us in this room remember a cultural phenomenon called Y2K. Raise your hand if you remember Y2K. Oh, praise God. Anybody under 26 is like, what are you talking about? Is that a video game? I have no idea. Well, the prepper movement really didn't start with Y2K, but it sure did explode when we thought the computers were going to forget how to count and all the lights were going to get turned out. Well, it turns out we survived Y2K. But ever since, there has been an ever-growing movement of preppers. Now, prepping is a mindset. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of thinking, and it's built around the idea that something really, really bad is coming really, really, really soon, and I want to be as prepared as possible. Now, I'm as big a fan of a Costco as the next guy. My kids know if we drive by Costco, we are, for the glory of God, going in the door, all right? But preppers take a trip to Costco to a whole new level. The average prepper in America, we know from various forms of research for the ones that will actually do the surveys, spend something anywhere from $900 to $2,000 a month stockpiling food. There are actually companies now that can sell you kits of food that will last you 25 years. I don't know how hungry you'll be then, but it's available if you want to buy it. In fact, some people are so serious about it, not only are they stockpiling food and clothing and all sorts of other things, but they're building underground shelters. Again, if this is you, please, I want to just invite you, email mbuster at prestonwood.org. He'd love to pray with you about this. Don't email me. But some of you, you've gone so far, you maybe have even dug the underground shelter because you know bad things are coming and you want to be prepared. There is even, found this out the other day, Dr. Johnston, there are 5 locations around the world where folks have gone in a privatized way and you can actually buy into multi-million dollar underground prepper condos. I'm not making this up. 15 stories down, they can withstand a nuclear blast 100 times that of Nagasaki. They come fully equipped with air conditioning and fully furnished and luxury spas and tennis courts and a golf course. How do you have an underground golf course? I don't know. They figured it out. And for the cool payoff of about $3 million, you too can own one of these underground luxury prepper condos. People are prepping. They see that the world is changing. It's getting more dangerous and confusing and chaotic. And by the way, it's always been those things. But I think in the prepper movement, we see something about our hearts and who we are and how we're wired as people. And that is when we sense danger is coming, we want to run to somewhere that's safe. Well, the good news is you don't have to spend $3 million on a 15-story deep underground condo to have safety in your soul today. The psalmist says in Psalm 46, one of the sweetest promises of all of the scripture, and I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles if you have a copy of God's word, Psalm chapter 46. We're going to learn today how you and I can have unshakable trust in the refuge of God's unchanging strength. We're all running to some kind of refuge one way or another, in one form of another, for one reason or another. But the good news of the gospel for you and I today is that as Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And then in verse 10, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. How can you have an unshakable trust in the refuge of God's unchanging strength? When life throws its inevitable chaos and confusion and conflict at you, when your heart triggers inside of you to say, I need to go somewhere safe, how can you and I know and believe and unshakably trust in the refuge of God's unchanging strength? I want to take this psalm today and I want us to look at 4 different ways that we can accomplish that purpose in our lives. The first way I think that you and I can have an unshakable trust in the refuge of God's unchanging strength is if we recognize the nature of His refuge. When we say that God is our refuge, what is it that we're saying? We need to recognize God for who He really is. The psalmist says, God is our refuge. The literal translation there, the Hebrew in the scripture there would be, God is our shelter. Now, I don't know how many campers we have out there, folks that are outdoorsmen and enthusiasts who burn with an ever-glowing passion to go out and in the Texas heat, sleep in tents around animals with fires and go hunt and do things outside. Praise the Lord for your witness. I have, for some reason, never been able to adopt all those skills. And I'll never remember the last time I was outside trying to put a tent together. I was a youth pastor, actually. We had taken a bunch of guys out to go play paintball and cook steaks and learn about Jesus. That feels biblical somehow. And I remember trying to put up a fight with this big, giant 6-person tent. And about an hour into it, I realized I was in trouble because my shelter was not going to be much shelter of all. And that's the word there, however, that the scripture gives us. God is our refuge. So He's not some kind of pop-up tent shelter. He is the indomitable, unassailable, almighty creator of the universe. That's your God. We need to recognize the reality of His refuge, who He really is. The psalmist gives us a picture of this stable and secure fortress God. I remember being in England several years ago for the first time and getting to travel all up and down that amazing country. Of course, England and Great Britain have been in the news ad infinitum the last several days with the passing of the Queen. And I love being in England. One of the reasons I love being in England because it's old. There's old stuff there that you just can't find in our country because we're just not as old. And one of the places that I went to just outside of London was the first castle that I ever stood in. Now, of course, it's remnants now. It's not obviously being used, and it's not what it once was when it was built. But the person that was guiding us through that castle explained to us when it was built, how long it took to make, almost 100 years to build. The thickness of the walls, longer and wider than this stage. The height of it, the way that it was designed to invite you in for a place of protection and shelter and, yes, refuge from an assailant, from one who's coming for you, coming to cause you harm. And that's the kind of word, that's the kind of picture that the psalmist gives us in Psalm 46, verse 1. When God is our refuge, what he's saying to us, what he's saying to you, is that God is a place of security and stability. In fact, in one passage earlier in Psalms, I love Psalm 18, verse 2. Here's how the psalmist describes God there as a refuge. He says, "The Lord is my rock, and he's my fortress, and he's my savior." And the NIV says, "My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves." And watch this, the place of safety. Some of us, we don't see God quite that way. Maybe you're engaging with us online and you're new to the idea of Christianity or reading the Bible, or maybe you're just now a follower of Jesus for these first few days of your infancy and your walk with Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're here because of the invite of a friend or a family member, or you just found your way into this room. With a crowd this size, with an audience this large, there's no way that any two of us are alike. And the reality that everybody in this room looks at God the same way probably just isn't so. And for some of us, when we hear the idea that God is a refuge, it's hard for us to get our heart wrapped around that principle. You see, for some people in our culture today, God is not a refuge. He is not safe. He is not secure. He is not stable. It's someone who is to be questioned, someone who is to be approached with skepticism, someone who is to be approached with doubt. Some of that is because of the experiences that you've had, sadly and unfortunately, with maybe other people who claim to be followers of Jesus. Some of you have these views because of churches, sadly, that you've attended where maybe there wasn't as much faithfulness to the scripture and the love of God as there should have been. Maybe you grew up in a home that was incredibly religiously minded, but God to you felt very distant and far away. And the idea that someone would stand up on a Sunday behind a pulpit and open a Bible and tell you that God is secure and he's stable and yes, he's safe is very difficult for you to believe. Some of us, we approach God with an enter at your own risk sign hanging on the fortress of his grace. And we're worried and we're afraid and we're scared that if we run to God, what we'll find when we enter his fortress is judgment and consequence and condemnation, as if he's this some sort of cloud shaman sitting up in the cosmos waiting to strike us down with lightning bolts of condemnation and judgment. And the good news for you is if that's how you feel about who God is, the psalmist wants to unravel all of that poor understanding in your heart today. Because he says, he declares, he believes that God is our refuge. That's right. Not just the church people, not just folks that know the Bible verses, not just people that grew up in the Bible Belt or are members of Prestonwood, but in fact, God is our refuge. And if you'll believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and ask him to come into your life, God can be your refuge as well. This isn't some exclusivity country club faith that we're preaching here. This is an all-inclusive faith if you would come on the terms of what a risen and loving Savior has given to you. That if you would cross the line of faith and invite Jesus to come into your life and take away your sin, that God can be your refuge just as much as he is mine this morning. God is a refuge and he's a safe, good, loving Father. Listen, I don't run into a fortress expecting to be destroyed. That doesn't make any sense. I don't run into a refuge assuming that's where I'm going to die. I walked into that castle in England that day, and I imagined myself being one of those townspeople and one of those soldiers where when it all goes south and it all breaks down, this is the place I want to be. In the refuge of this fortress, that's who God wants to be in your life and in mine. He is a safe, loving, faithful God. And I just want to invite some of you here that would be listening within the sound of my voice to, by faith, just wonder if maybe the God of the universe is not who you've been told he is. Maybe he's so much greater, so much more, and so much safer than you've ever heard. Why don't you take that enter at your own risk sign off the door of his grace and come on into the refuge of the goodness of God. You need to recognize today, if you and I really do want to have an unshakable trust in the refuge of the unchanging strength of who our God is, then we need to recognize the nature of his refuge and who he really is and can be in our lives. Not only that, we need to step into his strength. So as we recognize his refuge, we want to step into his strength. The scripture says in verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength. Now, that'd be one thing if God was just a refuge, like that tent that I was trying to put up in the woods. It'd be one thing if God was just one of many options. It would be one thing if God was a refuge amongst many refuges. But the reality is that God is our one, sole, single, almighty refuge. And not only is he a refuge that is safe and stable and secure, church, but he is a refuge that is strong. Our God is strong this morning. Now, I know it's 10:08, but somebody needs to get excited about that. Our God is strong this morning. The God you serve can't be conquered. He can't be dominated. He can't be overcome. He can't be challenged. He can't be beaten. Where my strength has limits, God's strength is limitless. Where my faith sometimes gets weeble and weak, God's faithfulness is ever abounding. When my ability to fix my situation falls apart, God's ability to work all things to be the way maker that we just sang about, man, it can happen in a moment because that's who God is. He is strong this morning. And some of us, we need to step into that strength. Some of us came in today and we are weak and we are wobbled by a difficult season. Some of us walked into this room and we are struggling to believe that God is that safe refuge because we're just not sure if he's strong enough to unravel and unwind the problems we've created or that we've experienced. And we just don't know if God really is that strong. I want to encourage you from the scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, when the scripture goes on to explain the strength of who God is. Isaiah 40 verse 28 and 29 says this, "Have you not known?" Listen how personal this is. "Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God." You know why God is stronger than any other being in all of creation, all of the universe, is because he created it all. He's over all. Everything exists for his glory. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. God doesn't run out of batteries. He doesn't need to be charged. He doesn't need to be lifted up. He doesn't need to be encouraged. He doesn't need, I see now a bunch of people in my kids' worlds, they're drinking these power drinks called Celsius. They're very scary to me because I think if I have one, it's like 19 cups of coffee, and you don't want to see that, all right? God doesn't need any of those boosts this morning. He doesn't need anything external to elevate what's eternal. God is strong. He is the mightiest of the mightiest. And there's nothing and no one that can drain that strength. He's everlasting. He's the creator, Isaiah says, of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. What a promise you're about to hear from God's word. He does not faint or grow weary.
Amen.
God's not going to clock out on you. He's not going to tap out on you. You're not going to exhaust the supply of his grace. You're not going to wear God out. Sometimes we see in the scripture this illustration of God being a father and us as his children. That's very appropriate. And those of you that are parents out there, you don't have to admit this out loud, but in your heart, you know I'm right. Some days as parents, we're just a little bit worn out. Don't tell your kids that because they'll win. But you have to agree. Parents, sometimes parenting is hard. Not because your kids aren't great and you don't love them. It's just hard. It's early morning. It's late night. It's a lot of different things, different ages, different trials and struggles. Parenting can be tough. Let me just tell you something this morning. Your God is an inexhaustible father. He does not get tired of you. And I just think that's one of the sweetest promises that we could hear from God's word today, is that he doesn't faint, he doesn't grow weary, that Isaiah says his understanding is unsearchable. There's nothing in all of creation that God doesn't know, that God doesn't understand. There is no problem that you could present to God where he would have to zoom out and go, I tell you, that's a tough one. I did not see that one coming. Boy, I'm gonna have to pull some people together on this one. This is a big deal. Way to go, humanity. You finally caught me. All right. There's nothing outside of God's wisdom. There's nothing outside. I just know somebody needs this word this morning. There's nothing outside of God's understanding. See, God doesn't know what I'm going through. God doesn't see me. God doesn't know what my struggle is today. Nobody in this room could. I've got it all together. I look amazing. I pulled up in an awesome looking car. I live in an amazing house. I've got an amazing looking family, and I have an awesome job. I have all the money that I need. But you wouldn't even possibly know how broken my soul is today. God knows. God's not far from you. And not only, however you want to approach this, but not only is God's understanding forever knowing, we can even begin to search the depths of his knowledge, that also ought to get our attention that in God's holiness, there's nothing we can hide from him. There's nothing that we can keep from God that he doesn't know. And this is the scary part for some of us. See, I knew he was going to get there. He just told me God's a safe refuge. And now he just told me God knows all my stuff. See, I knew it was coming. He was luring me into the fortress. And now he's blowing me up with the judgment. But listen to me. Would you be interested in serving a God that doesn't know all of you? Would you be even remotely interested in being faithful to a God that can't know the depths of who you are? What kind of God would that be to worship? There's stuff he doesn't know. There's places he can't go. There's things he can't do. That's not God. And if that's who God is, you shouldn't worship him. But if God is a refuge and he is a strong tower, then he is everything you need and more. And what does Isaiah say? He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. The psalmist goes on to declare in verse 1, as God is our refuge and strength, therefore he is a very present help in trouble. Amen. Are you in trouble today? I remember as a kid, so honored to have my mom here worshiping with us this morning from Colorado, and I remember as a kid, she could tell you lots of stories, please don't ask her, times where I knew I was in trouble. You ever had that feeling before? You know you broke a rule. Kids in the room, you know you did something mom and dad asked you not to do, and you know, they're in trouble. Kids, I got news for you. God has actually vested within us as parents a special supernatural ninja power that you don't possess, and we do know. The moms especially. Moms know. Have you discovered this? Moms know. You know when you're in trouble. You can feel it in your heart. You can feel the weight of it on your shoulders. You know when you've blown it. You know when trouble's coming. That's what's making us run to the bunkers and to the refuge. We know when trouble is coming. There's something built into how God made us and how we see the world where we can sense when trouble is coming. Aren't you glad this morning that God is a refuge and strength and that he is ever present in your trouble? Do you believe that? That God is present in your trouble, that he's not far away, but he's near. He's not ignorant to the problem. He knows. He's an ever-present help. And that means that in an invitation, you can step into his strength because his strength is available to you. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians puts it this way. In my weakness, he is strong. He'll say later in Philippians 4, I can do all things through, say it, who?
Christ.
Who strengthens me. The strengthening of God's people has always been his business. He's always been looking and working and moving on our behalf to strengthen us, but not enhancing our strength, but covering us with his. You've got trouble today? Maybe it's time to step into his strength. I asked several of our students in our student ministry, particularly those a part of our lead team. These are students that have kind of made an extra level of commitment to the life of our student ministry, and these kids are amazing. I asked them to answer this question: what does it mean to you that God is your refuge and strength? And we're going to put these on the screen. I just want you to see from their own mouths the heart of our teenagers in this church. I was so blessed to read these. What does it mean to you that God is your refuge and your strength? One student said, I like to think of God's refuge as an umbrella. When I'm under that umbrella, I'm under his protection and love. Another student says, it means that no matter what we're going through or how hard it is, God is always there for us to protect and comfort us. It means that we can go to him no matter the circumstances, and he will guide us. It means, one student said, it means that when you feel like no one is there, these are 14, 15, 16 juniors in high school, seniors in high school saying this. It means that when you feel like no one is there, you can bring him anything. It means it gives me security in the fact that I am safe in his arms. And that whenever I'm going through something bad or even something good, I'm safe and secure in his arms. And I love this. It gives me a huge sense of comfort. He's a constant God. So when I'm in the deep of the deep, he's there, he's ready, and he's waiting to take me in and give me his peace. Because let me tell you, God's peace is unlike anything else. Don't you want to say thank you to those students for sharing that with you this morning? There is nothing else like God's peace. There's nothing else like his strength. There's nothing else like his refuge. And he is ever present in your trouble. So as we continue to examine this idea of what it means to have an unshakable trust in the refuge of God's unchanging strength, we've recognized his refuge. We see the invitation to step into his strength. But thirdly, I want you to resist the fear of the roar. What in the world are we talking about there? Resist the fear of the roar. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 2, therefore, now, good Bible reading method, just for those of you that want to grow in this skill, and I hope that you do. Good Bible reading method is when you see words like that, you English majors out there, the therefore is therefore something, okay? So you want to go back, therefore what? Because verse 1 is true, God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore what? The scripture says, we will not fear. We will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling. We will not fear. Now the Psalms are Hebrew poetry, beautiful poetry by the way. And so there are occasions when the psalmist will leverage instances from nature to help illustrate what's going on around the writer or even in his heart. And what the psalmist is describing here is one crazy world. I don't know if you've locked into it. The earth is collapsing. The mountains are being thrown into the sea. The waters are foaming and raging and roaring. And for some of us, that's exactly what life feels like. The earth is giving way. The bottom of my life has fallen out. Jonathan, if you had any idea how much stuff is happening to me right now, no matter how hard I work, no matter how faithful I am, no matter how much I come to church, Bible verses that I read, how generous I am, how godly I am, the bottom is falling out of my life. I don't know why God is allowing all these things in my life. The earth is literally collapsing under my feet. If you had any idea about the mountains that are being thrown at me, the people right now that are frustrated at me, the problems that I'm dealing with, the issues that I've got to confront tomorrow in the workplace, the people that I've got to sit with and actually talk to and, you know, be with them. It's miserable. Mountains are coming at me. The waters of life are just roaring up. In fact, Psalm 93:3 says it this way. The flood waters speak to me as in one voice. And some of us are here, or you're watching online, and you feel as though life is like a rising tide of an unstoppable flood that's just taunting you all the way until it overwhelms you. The psalmist says, listen, the earth may fall out from underneath. The mountains may get tossed your way. The waters and the rivers, they may roar and they may foam. But if you are in the safe refuge and strength of God, listen to me, believer, you don't have to fear a thing. You don't have to be afraid of that cancer. You don't have to be afraid of that frustration, that struggle, that anxiety. You don't have to be afraid of the things you can't control. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Because if you're in the refuge of God, then you have all the strength that you need. And so you don't have to be afraid. I meet a lot of scared people as a pastor. I talk to a lot of young men in particular who are very afraid about their future. Very afraid, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get married? How am I going to have a good job? There's a lot of people in our culture today. Dare I say there may be some in the pews of this church today who are afraid of some things going on. And let me just say this to you, just us talking for a second. You're afraid because it's scary. Some of us are afraid because we're facing some really scary things. And I don't understand what happened in church where we just started to ignore the reality of stuff that can sometimes scare us. It's not sinful for you as a believer to be surrounded by scary things and for that to scare you. But it doesn't mean even scary things around you have to make you be afraid. What Satan would love to do in some of your lives, in my life, is to keep us scared and afraid, to keep our eyes off of the one who keeps us safe and secure, to be more consumed with our circumstances than we are with his authority over all things. Because if Satan can get us distracted in the scary stuff, he'll keep us from being faithful to the eternal stuff. Right. So how do you have an unshakable trust in the refuge of God's unchanging strength? You can't be scared. You can't live in fear. We will not. I love how the psalmist says as a declaration, we will not be afraid. We will not fear no matter what comes. Folks, I'd love to tell you that the world's going to get better and it's going to get awesomer and the technology is going to make us healthier and live longer. And I got to be honest with you, if you read the scripture, good eschatology says things aren't going to get better, they're going to get worse. Lostness is going to abound. Brokenness is our context. I'm an idealist. I take cues from my pastor. I love to think positive. But listen to me. That's in the vein of Christ fellowship in the kingdom of God. But the stuff outside the fortress is a mess. And so listen, the idea that we're just going to make it better if we all band together is, listen, every time humanity has come together on its own to make it better, we've built towers that fall apart and we scatter. This isn't about you living your best life or you creating a better world. This is about you coming into the surrender of God's shelter as your refuge. Amen. And to live in his strength, not yours. So we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to fear what's coming or what may be done to us. Or what we may have to experience, we don't have to fear a thing because we rest in the refuge of God. Several years ago, students in high school, I was playing a pickup game one day, and I was playing with my youth pastor. He was a great guy. I played college football, big guy, and so you wanted him on your team. And so, as sometimes happens in pickup basketball, you get an accidental elbow or maybe intentional. You kind of run into somebody, you set a pick a little too hard, and I may or may not have one guy that was playing against us on our team. I may have thrown a solid elbow for the glory of God. I may have done that, and it happens, Mike. You know, it happens. And this guy apparently did not appreciate the way I did that, and so he turned around and he confronted me. Now, as a 17-year-old, two things were happening. One, I knew in front of my friends I had to bow up and step in and probably get smacked around. But two, I was instantaneously scared. I was a little bit of a bigger guy, right? He'd shown he's pretty athletic. And so two of those things were happening at once. And I remember as that guy walked up to me to confront me, he was very angry and looked as though something bad was about to happen. And just in that moment when I'm trying to pretend that I'm strong and inside really super scared, all of a sudden, my former college lineman youth pastor stands in front of me and looks at him and says, I'm going to try to look bigger than I am right now. Do we have a problem? And of course, 17-year-old me is behind him going, yeah, dude, we got a problem. You need to walk away. And I realized in that moment what Paul is saying in 2 Timothy 4:17. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. I recognize, remember that story, and I think about that's what God wants to do. He wants to stand in front of you and look your enemy square in the eye that he's already defeated at the cross, by the way, and say, do we have a problem? Because this one belongs to me.
Amen.
That's what God wants to do for you. And we say he's a safe refuge and he's full of strength. Friend, that's what we mean. That's why he's an ever-present help in times of trouble. That's why the earth can give way and the mountains can fall out. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So listen, if you want to walk and live in the unshakable truth and the refuge of God's unchanging strength, then here's the final principle and we're going to pray. Then you need to stand in his stillness. The scripture says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Very simply, what does it mean to be still? It doesn't mean that we stop being faithful. It doesn't mean that we just sort of bail out on our walk with the Lord. It doesn't mean that we hide back under the covers of life and just wait for all the storms to pass. Listen, being still means you've still got to get up. You've still got to love your spouse. You got to love your kids. You got to go work hard. You got to be faithful. You come serve your church. Being still is not just bailing out of what God's called you to do. Being still means literally to cease and desist, to relax your grip on life, and stop doing one thing in favor of something else. And here's the reality for some of us. When we get anxious, we focus on the wrong things. But when we're still, we are thinking about the unshakable trust we have in the refuge of God's unchanging strength. So, my ability and your ability to be still flows from the truth of who God is and the power of his presence. But look at verse 10. I will be exalted. Your stillness also flows from the promise of his glory. So you and I can be still today. You can be still right now in that marriage that's barely hanging on. Trusting God for the heart of your spouse and asking God to make your heart more like his. You can be still right now. Some of us, the phenomenon of quiet quitting has swept quietly into our hearts. Tomorrow you go to work for a boss that you don't like and a job that doesn't satisfy you, not enough money, too much of a commute, frustration abounds. Maybe what God's calling you to do is be still in what he's given you today. Moms and dads that are struggling right now to parent their kid in a way that honors the Lord, be still right now for the heart of your child. You mean don't do anything? You mean give up? You mean do it? No. It means first in your heart, you be still before God and you trust and know who he is. He has authority over your home. He has authority over your life. Step into that strength, not what you can do on your own. Some of you students, you're going to be on your campus tomorrow and you've got all kinds of frustration. Church, I want to just challenge you to be praying for the young people of our church. I want to challenge you to be praying for our boys and girls and our preteen students and our teenagers. I want to just challenge you as families and as disciple makers and life group leaders and servants of the Lord Jesus to be praying for our kids that God would sustain them and hold them up. Students, maybe you just need to be still right now. Some of you, you're struggling with all kinds of identity, everything from your gender to your sexuality to who you're going to be to what you're going to do to who you're going to marry to where you're going to go. Some of you students right now, I love you enough to tell you, just be still. Just be still. God's working in ways you can't even see. Single mom, single dad out there, be still. God's working in ways that you just can't see right now. Just like when God's people walked up to the waters of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army behind them and nothing but floodwaters before them, all they could do is be still and watch God do what only he can do. Some of us, we've been waiting for that dry ground to walk across. And God's invitation for us is that we be still and we know that he is God. You can have an unshakable trust in the refuge of God's unchanging strength. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? This is something we do in every one of our services. Every time we preach the gospel, we always want to give people a time and an opportunity to respond. The invitation is for two kinds of folks today. Some of you, you're here and you hear about this refuge of who God is, our refuge and our strength. And you would say, Jonathan, the fact of the matter is, I know who God is. I've trusted Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I'm even a faithful member of this church. But the reality of my heart in this moment is that I need to remember what it means for God to be my refuge. I just want to say this. Today may be one of those days where a husband needs to grab the hand of a wife and come down to this altar and pray. Today may need to be one of those days where students, you grab a couple of your friends from your life group, or just people that know you and love you, or maybe a leader in your life, and come down to this altar and pray. Some of you here, maybe you're walking in singleness, or you're moving into that new season of adulthood, and you've got nothing but questions. You know and love Jesus, but you need the reminder and the remembrance of his refuge and his strength today. Maybe today is a day where, so that your church can know to be praying for you. Yes, we do this publicly, because God is our refuge and strength. And we as a church body, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we walk together and never alone. And so maybe today is one of those days. Maybe this service is one of those services where you say, I got to go down and I just got to pray. And as I go to pray publicly, I need God's people to be praying over me. There's no shame in that. There's no embarrassment in that. It's an act, a beautiful act of worship and trust in who the Lord is. So maybe this morning, you just need to make this place your altar and say, I just need to pray and remember the goodness of my God. Trouble is on the way this week, and I need to rest in the refuge of my God. But listen to me, some of you might be here today, and as you hear this message, you recognize that you have been striving for years to be your own refuge, and that your world is built around your own strength, and the earth is falling out, and the mountains are flying, and your life is total chaos. The last thing that could be described about you is stillness. Everything in your heart is anxious. But here's what's happened this morning. The Spirit of God has been working on your heart because of the power of the gospel. And I believe by faith that there is someone here who walked in the doors of this church who said, I'll do it all myself. And now you've discovered that there's a God that's already done it for you. And so maybe today is the day when you would put aside all the striving, when you would set aside your attempts to be strong, and you would just step into the stillness of the refuge of God. How does that happen? You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You need to realize that God made a way for your sin to be taken away. He put it on his son at the cross. And through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you now can have power and hope and strength and be found in the refuge of God's love. Is God your refuge today? Is he your strength? He can be. Why don't you come respond by faith? Tell one of these ministers, I need to follow Jesus today. My life needs to be changed. Lord, that's our prayer. That's what we're setting aside for this time. This is your invitation, Holy Spirit. Move in power, move in strength, and we pray it all in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.